Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. How are you? This is me, your host, Arlene B. Mitchell, back on the mic again. And it is great here in New York. It's kind of sort of warm. So for those of you who have to go out this evening, no more chilly nights. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, so let me get right into my guest. My guest tonight is Dino Sands, the horror novelist. And he's got some things to tell you. We were actually talking before, you know, prior to coming on air, and he was making me laugh. So I hope that you enjoy his conversation as well. Welcome, Dino, to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Ms. Brown Mitchell.
You
Thanks
are
for having
very
me.
Welcome. You are very welcome. So, as they all know from my post, you are right up there with all the big horror writers. So I'm just going to jump into everything real quick. I want to know how you came into writing horror. How did you decide, yeah, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, actually, that question is asked a lot, Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
I think, imagine.
You know, I think it started when I was, a child, a young man, listening mm-hmm. to myths and supernatural stories in the South, because I was born in Alabama. And
right.
and after that, I was intrigued, I've just been intrigued by, the supernatural all my life, and then having horrendous nightmares as a child kind of drew me closer to the horror scene, because the only way I can break the dreams is to write them down. So as I became a teenager, I started writing them down, because these dreams lasted until my teenage years. I mean, it was kind of crazy, but it was actually
mm-hmm.
the same recurring dream. And that recurring dream is that when I started and I wrote Miss Meriwether, Southern Nightmare. So that was able, and I broke that block then. So from then on, horror has been my life's blood, horror fiction. I can write anything, but horror fiction is my baby.
And when it comes to writing, how do you come up with your characters? I mean, do you just sit and think about different people, or is it that, you sleep, you dream, and like some stuff comes to you? Like, that's how I write. Things come to me in my dream or something like that. How does it work for you?
Well, it works in different ways, but I would say, all of the above. I mean, the world is full of characters,
mm-hmm.
And if you're not watching, and I try to tell, beginning writers and things like that, you have to watch the world. You have to watch people. If you're not going to watch people, then you can't define characters in the books. You can't create characters. So, with that said, and dreams at night, when I try to, you think of your plot, but you're trying to figure out, the dialogue. You want this character to speak. You want to describe how they look, how they talk. So the only way you can get that is by seeing the world full
mm-hmm.
of characters. And then you intertwine all that, and there you go. I have my characters, fictitious. I make sure, they're fictitious characters, but with a life. I bring them alive in a book, but they are fictitious, but I bring them alive in a book using what I see through the world.
Right. Yeah, well, okay, that really sounds good. That sounds good. When you do form a character, right, do you ever think mm-hmm. to yourself that this may be over the top? I'm going to scare the crap out of someone. And the reason why I'm asking this question is because, it'll lead into the book that I actually read that you sent me. is going to lead into that. But yeah, do you ever think to yourself, this is just really like going to move right there?
Oh, yes, all the time, because my whole idea in writing the book and putting these characters is in to entertain and enlighten the readers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being a horror novelist, I want to make sure, I mean, not all, you know, you have your character, each character has a role in a book. Now, your most
right.
frightening character, you know, that's be this person. This might be a timid character, has nothing to do with horror. So, and I try to, you know, put the ingredients are to put these different type of characters in there. And then one jumps out at you that's just so scary that it scares the daylights out of you. Then, like I said before, then you have your calm and your passive people and your, you know, mm-hmm. Goofy people or people that are laughing all the time or silly. But then you have antagonists. That's the one that's going to get you. You know, the one that's going to get you. And then I use that. Then I use that to strike fear in the other characters so you can see the fear that's coming from them. From the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you ever been scared by one of your own?
Pardon me?
Have you ever been, like, when you have written on paper or typed or anything like that, and you're doing a character, right? Have they mm-hmm. ever struck in you, like, you're, like, I wrote before, and I wrote something that scared me. It scared me, and I actually tore it up. Yeah, so I wanted to know, because that's how you know that it invokes fear. I mean, let's be real. That's how you know it invokes fear.
Well,
you
know, it's like,
right?
I try to write, like when my first son was born, and it wasn't horror, but, you know, when he was a baby, he was in his room. I put him in his crib, mm-hmm. and he was in his room with the door closed, and I was sitting in the living room, and something crossed my eye, and it was a figure, and I'm a grown man at this time, and it was a figure,
uh-huh.
and the figure walked
uh-huh.
into my son's room. You know, he walked in my son's room, but, you know, me loving horror didn't really scare me. It made me rise from my seat and run into the room, and the blanket was over his head. So
wow.
I write characters, and truthfully, some characters that I write, most of them, Deucin, I know it's a great character, fearful character, horrific character when it sends chills down my spine. Not that I'm scared,
mm-hmm.
but when I write them, that if I was a person that saw this particular person, it would send
mm-hmm.
chills down my spine. So now I know I have the right character. Now I know I have the right fear. I have the right atmosphere, the right plot, the right situations to bring about fear to the reader.
Right.
So, and that character, and I build on that character and build and build and build until the book is complete.
Oh, okay. Okay, now that brings up what I was asking the question for. The book that you sent me, the novella, I Am, we're going to go into that real quick right now.
Okay.
I Am is like an entity before, if I could say it, the devil. Right?
Mm-hmm. Satan, Lucifer, yes.
And, okay. So now, is it that it influenced him? Is that where you were going? It influenced him to be the way he was? To have go ahead.
I wanted to create a character. I wanted to create a character that everyone has been, all the history and the knowledge that we've been raised on about
mm-hmm.
the battle in heaven and Lucifer and God. And we've been told and read that he's a tempter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost, and when I created it, I was thinking of the world, why would a small 5'2" young man run up against somebody that's 6'6", 280, and battle him? And battle him knowing that he would lose. You see what I'm saying? So when I took the religious, when I wanted to do the religious aspect, the biblical aspect of the supernatural horror, you know, that's where I want to base. I really don't know. It's not read at why he would do it. He wanted to take over heaven, yes, but why would you think you can beat him? Why would you think you, in any, all your followers in your army, why would you think you can beat him? Wow. Maybe he wasn't the first tempter. Maybe something, another entity, whispered in his ear and said, hey, you know, you can take over heaven. You can take over heaven. But in the book, when I said it, he called out for the entity. But the entity did not come. You see what I'm saying? So now he lost the battle. Now he becomes a tempter to humankind, but it was something else that tempted him and left him high and dry, like Satan would leave a human high and dry. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of human aspects to it, of our daily lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what came about. That's how I want to bring about the what-if theory. What if something tempted Satan? Because what fool would go against God? What fool would go against God? So that's how I Am a Force of Relentless Evil came about.
Okay. Do you at any point expect any of the books to become movies? Are you interested in having them go up on the big screen or anything like that? Is that into your plans for the future for your novels?
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, my books that I write are like movies, and I try, and I'm just waiting to, you know, waiting for the film production companies and the directors to, you know, grab my books and understand these books are written like movies. You know, that you're actually inside. That's how I write my novels. I want to make sure the reader falls inside the pages of my books. So when you read them, you take yourself from the reality into the unreality that I write. And you are actually there. You breathe the air. You smell the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the touch. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, that's what I want, you know, the readers are doing. Yes, I can't wait till my books are made movies. They'll be great movies. You know, they'll be great movies because 99.9% of the time, all my thoughts and ideas of my books are mine. And I say that truthfully. 99.9% of the time, these are my ideas. I research so much to make sure I do not create someone else's horror. You know, that's just me. So I try to make sure I do that. It may be something down the line that's just 1%. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with that. But 99.9% of the time, these are all my ideas, my creations, my horror.
Okay.
But to answer the question again, I hope I get a phone call tonight.
Wow.
They will be great movies.
Okay. I knew I should have brought the popcorn. Okay. You have so many books. You know, I was going through the list about 2 days ago, going through the list of different books. What book that you wrote is your favorite?
Okay, I'm going to try to remember this, Arlene. All my books are so wonderful, in my opinion. And,
I
have supporters that has supporters that have agreed with me. But if I want to talk about, especially if you want to get deep down to it, I must say my book, The House of Shangri-La. You know, The House of Shangri-La, it's my favorite. I mean, you put me between a rock and a hard place, but I'm going to go ahead and say The House of Shangri-La. I want to say some other ones, but you said favorite. You didn't say what are some of your favorite books, then I would have listened to say some more, but... since you say favorite, I guess I will say The House of Shangri-La.
Okay, you knew it was going to be a difficult interview because I'm a horror buff. I want to know where to go for the. I know if it's your favorite, then it's got to be scary. It has to be scary. So yeah, I made you narrow it down, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did.
Okay.
Okay. So the other thing I want to ask you is you're on Amazon. And actually, I should just be telling the audience, you're on Amazon, all of your books. I have the link posted. I want everybody to know the link is posted on the front of this page, and you can actually hit it and go there. He's also on Facebook as well. He's on Twitter. He's on LinkedIn and WordPress. And you can find him at Dino Sands for all of that. So I'm just doing a little bit of plug for you, Dino, just a little bit of a plug.
All right.
But you can find him at all of those sites. And, of course, you can connect with him. You know, his email is located. And you can connect with him. And if you want to get any particular book that you like or you like them all, just pick them up. They're reasonably priced. And they're very, very good, especially the one that I'm reading. I mean, it's excellent. It's excellent. So.
Oh,
right
I should
now,
have said that was my favorite. But you already have that one. So, I started to say that was my favorite. But since you already have that one, I had to go to the House of Shangri-La.
I got you. Okay. But I'm going to go to that book next. I'm going to actually purchase that book and read it. Because I know if you're saying that it's your favorite, like I said, it must really be scary or it must really be deeply good. Because when an author likes one of their own works, like really a lot, it's usually their baby. You know? So that's the one everybody should go get.
Well, I will give you a little tease of the house. Should I give you a little tease of the House of Shangri-La?
Yeah, do that.
I guess it won't hurt to give you a little teaser. But I'll just give you a little teaser. You can go to my office page and see the bio. But this idea was created, and I'm still going on heaven and hell. And I had to create, so I wanted to create something that Satan had a daughter. Okay, Satan had a daughter, and it was a rebellion in hell. It was actually a rebellion against Satan in hell.
Uh-huh.
So, they captured Satan, and the rebellion took over hell, but the daughter escaped. And the daughter escaped through the House of Shangri-La, which was actually a portal to the world, to the humankind. She escaped through the portal, which the demons and stuff supposed to have guarded, okay? But when she escaped, she became human. She became human.
Wow.
But then she started a family, but she passed away. But the rebellious, the leader of the rebellion had been looking for her for centuries, knowing she had escaped to Earth. But when she passed away, I'm just giving you a little tidbit. I'm going to break it. I'm going to leave some out so you can try to guess the rest. They finally found her and tricked not her, but her children to come back to the House of Shangri-La.
Oh,
because it was told that there were gold and treasures there. And they owned it because it was left by someone in a family they never met before, which was the rebellion in hell. So a bunch of friends went up there on a vacation to check out the House of Shangri-La. And that's how the story goes.
Wow.
And the rest is straight horror. Straight
now, you know, I've got to check this book. You see?
Great plot,
now,
ending, climax.
Yup, and I put down that if anybody was interested in when they read the front of this page to listen to the show, right? And now I myself am curious about the book, and I'm going to look at the book after I get off the air and check it out, because now I'm smiling because I'm a horror buff, straight down to the middle of my spine. I'm definitely a horror buff, and I'm intrigued because I want to know what happened when they went back to the House of Shangri-La, like what happened with the descendants you know.
I know. I won't give you any more teasing. No more teasing.
I know.
Just promise. That's as far as I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
But like I tell everybody, when you read my horrors, tell me what hospital they checked you into so I can come visit you.
It's like that?
Because it's actually unsafe.
Uh-oh.
It's actually unsafe.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So now what I want to know now is that if you weren't a writer, right, what else
mm-hmm.
would you be doing? Or do you think that this career you would have chosen no matter what?
Well, you know, you that's a question. I'd probably be going insane if I wasn't a horror writer. I'd probably be going insane because I have a vivid imagination about horror fiction, so I'll probably go insane if I'm not able to write it down and push it out to the world. But, you know, if I wasn't, you know, into horror fiction, I'll be doing more. I would do more to, you know, encourage the youth today, you know, try to make them follow their dreams, you know, don't give up. Like I tell other writers, you know, the literary industry is no joke,
mm-hmm.
and you know they don't hold any blow, you know, punches. So you know you have to keep it moving, you know, be diligent, you know, humble, you know, things of that sort, you know, supportive
mm-hmm.
of others, things of that sort. But if I wasn't a horror writer, that's what I would be doing, you know, trying to motivate the youth of the day more, you know,
wow,
to find
great.
An itch in the world. And follow their dreams, and you know.
That's definitely a nice thought. That is definitely a nice thought. All right. In a couple of years, right, from now, do you expect to be writing the same as you do now, or do you think you'll be going into a different direction, another direction?
No. I mean, my direction is horror, but, you know, I'm a multifaceted writer, so there's nothing I can't write, you know, short stories, poetry. So, you know, I'm still going to be writing my horror, and hopefully I'll be executive producers on movies and people, you know, and they're writing screenplays for my books and keep writing, pushing out
mm-hmm.
my books because, you know,
you
I just can't,
poetry?
I can't stop.
You do poetry too?
Yes. I've been in poetry slams all over the states. I do poetry, you know, short stories, been in magazines, and
okay.
It's just, you know, these are not horror. I mean, it just depends on horror. Like I said before earlier, horror is my passion. But as a writer, I can't stop writing anything. I can't stop writing. So if I have a downtime on my horror, if I want to write a few poems or go speak somewhere, spoken word, I'll go do a little spoken word to get my mind clear, and maybe
right.
while I'm doing spoken word, I didn't thought of another chapter for the book I was already writing. So, you know, it's just how it goes with me.
Oh, okay. And when you decide to write, what is it that you go through, like, in the course of a day? Do you just get up in the morning and you're like, okay, I'm going to write today, or is it something that just comes over you throughout the course of the day and you just actually do it?
It varies with me as a writer. I've been doing this a long time, so it varies with me. I never used outlines. I don't use outlines.
Oh.
I don't even do it. I don't, in my opinion, that's a waste of time for me. That's just
mm-hmm.
for me. Other writers may love outlines. I mean, that's just the case. I write notes. And, you know, jot down notes on a piece of paper, like on Five Heartbeats when he was writing songs on brown paper bags. That's me. I just jot down different notes and different situations in the chapter, and I put it away. Or I might write the book in my head and just sit down and just sit and watch some TV. I might just write a chapter in my head. And then when I
wow.
feel like it the next day, I may write it down. I may not. It may be next week when I write it down, but I still have it. But then when I lay down and dream, I dream about the whole situation. So, and then sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night after I've dreamed it and start writing. So I can write it down and I put my pad up and I'll put it back in the
mm-hmm.
drawer. I won't get on the computer. I just write it down, the thoughts, the ins and outs, the what ifs, the what, the five W's, what, when, where, and why.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. And I put it away, and then when I feel like it and I get in the mood, I say, oh, time to write 4 chapters. You know,
wow.
A lot of people say, time to write 10,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do 10,000 words. I do chapters. So I say, oh, it's time to write 2 chapters. Or it's time to finish that last chapter. Or it's time to write 4 more chapters. That's just how I do. So anytime I'm walking, like I'm talking to you, and I'm thinking about finishing the last couple of chapters of this new book. I mean, the new book's about to be released in a couple of months. And thinking about the next book I'm about to release in July, while I'm talking to you. Just
what?
How I do things.
Wow. Jeez. When I wrote a book, it took me almost a year just to write one book.
Oh, well, I'm not trying to be.
My hat is off to you, and I'm like, that's why I said he's a great writer. I already know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I want to ask you, since, you know, you write and everything like that, when you're on your downtime, right, what are your hobbies? What do you like doing?
Well, my hobbies, you know, I like watching horror movies. I like watching horror movies because horror movies, I try to make sure, and, you know, that's one of my hobbies, watching horror movies so I won't create another horror. So if I watch a horror movie and I see something that I was thinking of maybe, I won't think of that anymore.
That makes
sense. Pardon me?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. So that's how I do things. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's how I do things just to make sure. And then I like to watch, you know, the old black and white movies, you know, from the 50s and 40s, which give me inspiration also. You know what I'm saying? Just different dramas.
Yeah.
These are not horrors. These are just simple movies.
Yeah.
Simple movies, you know, especially Alfred Hitchcock movies and things of that sort. I love Alfred Hitchcock. He's the greatest.
Me too.
He's one of the greats, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of the greats. And so I watch these movies just to see, and then some westerns or anything like that, you know, if something can give me an idea about a rooftop. You know, if something's on a rooftop, you know what I'm saying, and it's in black and white and it's about to jump or something like that, and it's not horror, but I might create something to make it horror, and I might put it in a book, you know. So
yeah.
That's about, you know, walks with my wife, some, you know, stuff like that, or just sitting quiet, especially reading books, you know. I try to read everything I can. You know, I'm not one of those readers that, and it's been like since childhood, I've never read a book all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I've been one of them, I guess, because I read so fast. I read maybe 8 chapters, put that book up, and then when I get ready to read, I grab another one, a different book, and I'll start reading that. And then when I feel like I go back to the previous book and finish reading that, and then I go grab another book, read 4 or 5 chapters, put that up, and then grab the book the other book I was reading and finish that. I mean, I know it might sound kind of crazy, but I am a horror novelist, but that's always been my niche about writing. You know, I have over 500 books,
yeah.
So if I read, you know, 3 or 4 chapters in a book, I'll put it down, and then the next day I might pick up a whole different book from a different culture or on Ireland. I mean, I'll just read it, then I'll put that down and read something else. It's just how I read. And I always retain everything. I still retain everything that I read, even though I go back.
Well, now that's a great thing right there. Because me, myself, I have to write notes. I definitely have to write notes. And on that note, I want to say the time is almost up. I'm so sorry. But at least the audience got a chance to get to know you, and they got a chance to get to hear what you're thinking and the books and everything. Wow, it's just so much stuff. Want to say to everybody, if you do get a chance, go to Amazon, type in his name, Dino Sands, and his author page or one of his books should come up, and just check it out. Really check it out. You can, like I said, go to the YouTube or Twitter and all of that, and it's under the same name. So it's not like you have to go searching around or anything like that. And he loves the more the merrier. The more the merrier.
Right.
With this.
Because there's only one Dino like Sands.
Right, right. And so, Dino, I say to you, thank you so much for coming on the air and talking to my audience. And I know they're loving you right about now, because a lot of them, you know, the reason why they follow us is because they're into the things that we're into already. So I know they're loving this interview right now. And I'm going to be talking to you a little bit later on the ITV. So all of you who are listening now, you'll be able to view us on the ITV and hang out with us, you know, as we hang out live. And whatever mess ups we do is what we do. We are not perfect, and we don't care about being perfect.
Just no, not at all. In.
Okay.
Yes. So, thank you very much, Arlene. I am Dino Sands, and I am Horror Fiction. You have a good one. I'll see you on the TV.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay. And then for everybody else that's leaving here and going to the next platform, that's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be there. Definitely. Get your popcorn out and be ready. See you then.